Let's turn to Jeremiah 6. Brother Norton's prayer, he mentioned the Lord does want to direct our paths. He wants to direct our steps. And in part, that's part of the theme of my message tonight. Verse 16 of Jeremiah chapter 6. Some good verses in Jeremiah to speak sermons on and Bible studies on. I suspect I've heard a lesson on this in the past. I cannot remember, but let's read it together. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not in it. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Titled my lesson, Crossroads. The reason is because in the NIV, the renders this verse, stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. A crossroad, a definition would be a road that crosses over, a road that runs across another one, links two main roads. A crossroad can also be a metaphor about decision, faced with two roads. We've all been there. A crisis time in one's life, say to somebody that they're at a crossroads. A moment of truth. Henry Kissinger, former Secretary of State, back in 1989, that was recorded in Newsweek. Henry Kissinger tried to illustrate this once about crossroads, but he misspoke. And you know, even the intelligent people misspeak. It's not just people like me and you, but maybe just me. This is what he said, and I quote, more than at any time in history, mankind faces a crossroads, one path leading to despair and utter hopelessness, the other leading to total destruction. Let us pray that we have the wisdom to choose correctly. And it doesn't appear that either were very good options at the crossroads, but I don't think he actually meant that. But in this verse, these verses we read, these picture, if you can imagine your mind, these picture travelers who have lost their way, and when they arrive at a certain crossroad, they should inquire the right way. The nation of Israel was at this certain crossroad in their relationship with God. They had lost their way because of idolatry and disobedience to God. They were called upon to choose the ancient paths, which are simply to walk in God's truth, in faithful obedience as their fathers had done. Then they would find rest. But, as we read, they refused to do so. Let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 18, which is a commentary on this verse. 15. Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to worthless idols. They have caused themselves to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in pathways and not on the highway. In today's Living Bible, the paraphrase has it written like this, which I thought was very interesting. Have turned away from the ancient highways of good and walk the muddy paths of sin. To walk the muddy paths of sin. Today, Adam's race faces two roads in their attitude towards Christ and his claims. Man must choose. Every man comes to this crossroads about Christ. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? We read, we won't turn the read in Mark chapter 16. He that believes on the Son has eternal life. And, excuse me, he that believes on the Son has eternal life. He that believes not, I'm going to turn there. I could quote it all day, but right now my mind's a blank. So maybe we should read it. There again, I don't want to misspeak, especially God's word. Mark 16:16. I was close. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. We see the two roads there. There is no ambiguity. There is no gray area. There are two roads and two destinies. He that hath the Son, as it says in 1 John, he that hath the Son has life. He that has not the Son does not have life. There again, two paths that we must make a decision in regarding to these two paths and regarding Christ and his claims. In verse 16 it says, if we take the right path, we will find rest. The Hebrew has it a resting place. Think of a traveler, weary, worn, carrying a burden. In the spiritual sense, maybe it's the burden of sin or trying to do their best to keep the law, caring about a burden of guilt. And we as Christians can carry about burdens of care. And when we're traveling, when we've traveled all day, even in a car, it gets towards the close of day and we're looking for a motel. We're looking for a place where we can find rest. And here comes a sign. It says, lodging straight ahead. We've all been there. We go, that sounds good right now. It just to take a nice warm shower, get in there, get something to eat, lay in bed, TV before we turn in for the driving tomorrow. And I thought, well, the Lord himself, he is our lodging place. We who have faith in him, we have found a lodging place in the Lord himself. Jesus said, come unto me and rest. He is our rest. He is our lodging place. We lodge in him. In him we find rest. We find refreshment. We find satisfaction. We are strengthened. The sinner finds a rest of conscience, and the heart of a believer finds rest, rest of heart as we submit to him. And as Christians, we meet with crossroads that demand we make choices as well in regards to direction of our lives. We come to crossroads. Maybe not on a daily basis we would consider road, but there are times in life we know we come to a place where it's a certain crisis, where the pastor may be giving an invitation at the end of a service, come to these altars and commit your life to the Lord. These are crossroads in our lives. These are times of decision. These are times where we must choose. What are we going to do with our life, even as a Christian? To choose our own path, as the nation of Israel, for the one of carnal ease, the one of compromise, the one of being earthly minded, to kind of go with the flow attitude, will bring nothing but spiritual lethargy and eternal loss to our life. And many Christians are defiled today by these decisions. They're by being carnal, living like the world, compromising, embracing error. They are spiritually, as I mentioned earlier, from the paraphrase, they are walking in the muddy paths of sin. And when we as Christians walk in these byroads, When we choose these other paths that are not ordained to the Lord, we are walking in muddy paths of sin. The Lord says he can have no part with a Christian who chooses these paths, who chooses the wrong road to follow. We can't have muddy feet spiritually and be in fellowship with the Lord. We will need our feet washed in his precious word. At a railroad crossing, we'll read a sign and it says, "Stop, look, and listen." Stop, look, and listen. At this crossroad we're speaking of, the sign reads, "Stand, look, ask, and respond." Stand, look, ask, and respond. When lost or in doubt of one's direction, it is wise to either read a map or to pull over to a gas station and ask directions from the person who lives in that community. It's foolish to continue stubbornly going down the road in the wrong direction. It's foolish. Why go down the wrong road if you know in your heart of hearts, or you have premonition or doubts about the road that you're on? Knowing deep down in your heart, this is probably not the right way to go, but my pride would not allow me to ask or to inquire. But it says here, ask for the old paths. Ask someone. Spiritually speaking, we're to humble ourselves before God. We're to ask him, what is the right road? We need him to point us in the right direction. We can't do it all ourselves. You may think you can. You may stubbornly in your heart of hearts think, I can figure this out all myself. But no, we need the guidance of the Lord. We need him in a real, practical, day in, day out fellowship with him. Be close enough to him where we can hear his voice, where we can hear the Spirit's we'll hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand or when you turn to the left. There again, in the same book of Jeremiah, we'll turn to chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Verse 23. Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks direct his own steps. And there again, not just one isolated scripture, but other scriptures bring this out as well. It is not within man, not within us, to direct our steps. There again, another a verse from the paraphrase Living Bible. It is not within the power of man to map his life and plan his course. It's not within the power of man to do this, but it is within the power of God to do this. The power of God through his word, by his spirit, by providence, by God ruling and overruling, by God opening and closing doors, by God's watch care over us, by God's knowing our steps before we even take them. He knows what is in the future, and he knows what we need at hand. He knows the dangers. He knows the troubles. He knows the enemies that may be lying in wait around the corner, around the bend for us. And he will be sovereign, and he will be faithful to direct our steps in the way that he shall choose. Now, might not be in the way we would choose, we in our 2x4 thinking, but we need to trust him. But by his grace and by his power, he will keep us out of the muddy ruts of sin and doctrinal error. The steps of good men are ordered of the Lord. He delights in His way. And as far as getting in the rut of doctrinal error, we need not do that. If we desire the right road, if we desire the right path, if we desire to do God's will, we can know the truth. John 7:17. John 7:17. A very familiar verse, so we can quote it, and but is it real in our life? If anyone will do His will, have a desire in their heart, a willingness to do the will of God, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it be from God or whether I speak of my own authority. There again, it's the heart attitude, desiring to say, Lord, what is the path You have for me? I want to take that path. And as you get on that path, the Word of God will the revelation of His Word will be something from within. It won't be something just memorizing Scripture and quoting Scripture. It's something that's been made, the truth's been made real in your heart as you yield in this and obedience to the Lord. These truths we made real in our lives. What if people, and it happens all the time, and I wish it would happen more often, but when we meet people at life's crossroads, they may ask us for direction. They might not ask God per se, even though God may be dealing with them, and they may not know it. They may not recognize the dealings of the Holy Spirit in their life, but they may come to us at work or somebody in your family, and they may ask us for direction. They're at a crossroad. What is the right direction to go? And we must be ready to give an answer to any who ask us a reason of the hope that is in us. Philip, in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit told him to speak to this eunuch who was reading Isaiah chapter 53. I believe this man was at a crossroads in his life, and he wanted to know the truth. Perhaps he was burdened by sin, and he was in Isaiah 53, and which is really the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament in regarding prophecy concerning Christ and His redemptive work. If a person today goes to a Jewish scholar and is a burden about and has questions about Isaiah 53 and asks him about Isaiah 53, or he'll say, well, it's just an allegory of the suffering of the nation. What kind of reaction would that person get? If Philip went to this man and he said, now, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I unless some man guide me? He was looking for a guide down this road. And Philip says, well, what you're reading there is a very interesting portion of Scripture. It is an allegory in the suffering of the nation of Israel. And he would probably say, oh, that's interesting. But it would not have met the need of his heart. It would not brought him to a place of repentance and faith in Christ and knowing that his sins were forgiven, and he would not have went on his way rejoicing the way he did if he just figured it was some allegory about the suffering of the nation. Priscilla and Aquila also knew the right road. They showed Apollos the way or the road of God more accurately. Another translation from the New English Bible says, they expounded the new way to him in greater detail. You see, Priscilla and Aquila had been down this right road for a certain distance, and they knew all the scenery. They knew what to look for, And they'd been down that road, and they wanted to invite this person with them down this road, and they wanted to explain more in more detail the wonders, the beauty, the scenery that they would find going down this certain door, road. That's the way it is with us. Thank God that we have many. We've been down the road a bit, and we know we've understood in measure the preciousness of God's word and the blessing it is to follow in the footsteps of the Lord. And we would desire others to come our way, whether it be salvation or do you understand the grace of God? Do you know do you know about the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Have you heard this precious bridal message? Have you heard about the special place that God gave to the Apostle Paul? That we would love to, for others to come this way with us. And this is spoken of too as ancient paths. Ancient paths. When we think of ancient, we think of something that's really old. With many, what is old is obsolete. To many today, the Bible is out of date. It's superseded by something newer. We have science. And, the early Christians believed the world was flat. And, of course, they just chuckle. And we got brilliant men of critical thinking that we can go to about life's issues. Go and ask a doctor or doctors of religious today at Iliff School of Theology about the Bible. And many will just say flatly that they deny the inspiration and the authority of the Holy Scriptures. As we read in verse 17 about God setting watchmen over the nation of Israel. And that was their religious leaders, their prophets and such. And they were on the walls and they gave warning as far as enemies approaching. And they sounded the trumpet to give warning. But these so-called watchmen today, as Isaiah says, they're nothing but blind and ignorant, dumb dogs that cannot bark. And they give no warning whatsoever. And let's turn for a moment to Proverbs chapter 22, speaking of these ancient paths. Proverbs 22. Verse 28. Do not remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Now, family farms in Canaan were marked off by stones and not by fences. This was the portion of their inheritance from God. The stones were set by the ancients. By those who first went in the land of Canaan, that was marked off for that tribe and that family out of that tribe. This was their plot of ground that God, in His goodness, gave them. That was their portion, part of their inheritance. And you were not to disturb these landmarks, these pile of stones, whatever. But it would be displeasing to God. And spiritually speaking, ours is not an earthly inheritance. Ours is not an earthly portion. Our portion is a heavenly portion. And our ancient landmarks are the precious truths revealed in Scripture, especially what is contained in Paul's gospel. Many today are removing these ancient landmarks by denying the truth and turning from it. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter. There again, familiar scriptures, but yet they every day as we go deeper and deeper into this church age, we see the fulfillment of these scriptures right before our eyes. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Let's back up to verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They will gather teachers together what they want to hear. They say, this is such a good church. They don't talk anything about sin. They're not judgmental whatsoever. And they said, do you just keep coming to church if you want to? And this is a church, we're not going to be divisive over doctrine. And all faiths are welcome. You believe this, you believe that. That's fine, that's fine. There's a little good in that, a little good in that. You just come together. We'll just have a big, happy time. And that's what many people are all looking for today. Let's back up to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Hold fast, verse 13, hold fast the pattern or the outline of sound words or healthy words, which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast these precious truths, these landmarks. Or another translation has the thought of retain these truths. Retain them. And we are entrusted. We have been entrusted with the precious truths that were committed to the apostles and prophets of Christ Jesus. And Spurgeon said, I thought this was an interesting remark. He said, people are holding fast to everything or nothing. People are holding fast to everything or to nothing. As I mentioned earlier, they got people got a patchwork type of belief system, like a quilt. And you have a section here, and they kind of create their own doctrine, their own belief system. And they're tossed to and fro, as the Bible says, carried about by every wind of doctrine. And others, they hold to nothing. With no doctrine, don't know anything about the Bible, and they're content to have it that way. But we are to hold fast to these precious truths. And not heeding this exhortation will lead us to stray from the faith, as it says in Timothy, to stray, to go down the wrong path. The word old also in the Hebrew is translated everlasting in the Hebrew. Everlasting. The word of God, which we embrace, it's eternal. It's reliable. It's enduring. His plans are from everlasting. Think of the sacrifice of Christ. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In Peter it says, he was indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world. The sacrifice of Christ was not an afterthought with God in regards to sin or our salvation. Think of it. You cannot contemplate how God had thoughts about our salvation before the universe came into existence. He was thinking about you and me. He loved you and me so much, he foresaw the calamity that sin would entail and provided the remedy for our sin before there was nothing. Before there was nothing in this universe but God, the Son, and the Spirit. It's an old story, yes, the story can never grow old. It's the power of God unto salvation. It has never been diminished over time. It's an old story, yes, but it brings new life to the sinner. It will renew us in our inner man as we hear it and heed what is contained in the message. It will renew our spirits. It'll truly satisfy. Some Jews in the book of Hebrews were at a crossroads too. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. This is the crossroads they came to. They could either go back to the old typical temple sacrifices, or they could take the other road and they could embrace the reality of the finished work of Christ. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to show forth, either to those who hadn't put their faith in Christ yet, or those who were saved who were tempted to go back to these Old Testament sacrifices. He says here in verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith." Let us draw near. We have this way, which is a road, is spoken of a new way or a fresh way into the very presence of God through Christ. It never grows old. Jesus is the road. He is not only the road, he is the leader on the road. If we back up to Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren." The word here in the King James Version is the word captain. In this translation I have, it is leader. Another translation has Jesus as the pioneer of this salvation. That is Montfort's translation, which made me think about the early pioneers in the West. How the early pioneers, there's ones, the brave ones who went forth to, say, like California or Oregon, and they paved a road. They created a trail for others to follow later. We think of the Oregon Trail, the Bay Trail. It guided others who were later to come. They just followed the very ruts of those wagons, and it led them right to California, led them right to their desired destination, because others went before them. They were pioneers, and others could follow. Jesus is the pioneer that leads us into the presence of God. And another translation of this word leader is a trailblazer. A trailblazer. And it made me think of Daniel Boone. He blazed the wilderness road in Kentucky. Because he blazed this wilderness road in Kentucky, it said later, within 50 years, more than 200,000 people followed him into Kentucky by this marked path. And I just thought how we need simply, we make it too complicated, we are to simply follow in his footsteps, follow in the footsteps of Jesus toward glory. That is our journey's end. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.